We have been for the past 2 weeks discussing an important theme that deals with the basic education of us as Muslimin. So in the first week we spoke about the basic education and the importance of it relating to our children. Then last week we spoke about adult basic education. Now that, alhamdulillah, covers everyone. It covers the little boys and the little girls. It covers the males and the females in children and adult education. But there is one other important aspect that we need to focus on, and that is the importance of female basic education. So in other words, all those things and aspects that were discussed and covered in the previous talks are there, but there are some additional things which we have to take note of. And we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about what, in which way did we fulfill our responsibilities towards our female counterparts, our daughters, and so forth. So it's not something we just step aside or brush aside. Females are not just some objects that are totally substandard, to be ignored, not to be taken note of. No, my respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made up this entire system of this world with males and females. And the system of this world is upheld by the proper functioning of both males and females. So, like we find there are different things in the creation, we have land and we have water, we have darkness, and we have night, and we have all different opposites that are basically upholding and maintaining the harmonious balance of this universe and its existence. The same with male and female. Even in the animal kingdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these same two species, and there are certain roles and responsibilities, and there are certain natural functions they have to carry out so that this harmonious existence can continue. So it's not something that, you know, we just feel it's a male-dominated world, chauvinistic, as we say. We have to take into account both aspects, and we have to ask ourselves that when Allah Ta'ala created man and woman, then what was the purpose? Why did He not just create everyone one species and that was it? No. Each one has been created differently because for the functioning of this universe, they have certain roles to fulfill. So male have got certain roles according to the natural skills and abilities and talents and aptitude and whatever else that he has been granted, he must fulfill his roles. And the same when it comes to females. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned certain natural roles to them, and He has inculcated certain qualities inherently in a woman that will only be found in a woman because of the natural role that a woman has to fulfill. And that is how it has to carry on. And it will be totally incorrect for the one trying to vie for the position of the other, the one wanting to be the other, the one wanting to fulfill the role of the other. Because then this is a direct challenge to the system of Allah and to the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why that one hadith where it is mentioned, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ وَالْمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed those females and those males who imitate each other. In other words, wanting to be each other, wanting to fulfill the roles of each other, vying, competing with each other, because then that is going to upset the natural balance of things, yeah, my respected friends and brothers. So we need to understand that Allah Ta'ala has not duplicated males and females. If that was the case, then you should have just had one species and finished. No, Allah has made them such that they complement each other in as far as things are concerned on the face of this earth. And without that, we will find major chaos that is taking place. And each one, like we say, plays their role in the way they are supposed to play it. Having understood that, we need to know that in Islam, and we need to know what Allah Ta'ala wants and what Allah Ta'ala has decreed for the females. And what is the position of females in Islam? Not just some object, not just something, you know, not just some creature that has to be put in the back burner and not worried about. That was just to understand very briefly, we're not going to the history of it, to understand what was the position of a woman before Islam. What was her status? If you look at the books of history, and you look at you know, ancient Europe, medieval Europe, the medieval times, you look at ancient India, and even ancient Arabia, and we have to look at what the position of the woman was. Basically, she was a nothing. She was, when in fact a girl used to be born, the Quran says, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That if a man used to be given the glad tidings that your wife gave birth to a girl, his entire face used to become darkened with anger. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ, used to be filled with rage and anger. But why did I have to get a female? Because that was not something that you get. That's not something you are supposed to be proud of. So it was a humiliation, actually. That was before Islam. And likewise, if we look at Europe, not very long time ago, in their own books, they will tell you that they were busy debating whether a woman is human or subhuman. Can a woman possess property? Does she have rights to own anything? Does she even own herself, for that matter? What is her position? So that discussion was going on, and they were just treated in the worst way that a person can think of, all documented in their books. And the same, if you look at ancient India, what was the position of the women? Like we say, we're not going into the history, but look at the books that have been authored by those who have studied the different civilizations and the Muslim civilizations compared. Arnold J. Toynbee, Thomas Carlyle, and a few others. And they have made such beautiful remarks. They say it without fear, that it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam who actually came and raised the status of women and gave them a proper position in society. So what was it that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with and gave women their proper position in society? And for a woman to be able to function for that role that Allah Ta'ala has created for her, what are the requirements? Today we are so confused, and we are not talking about not educating them in higher learning. We're not even talking about making them Hafiza and Alima and all that. And we're not talking about sending them to universities and all that. Even there, our whole thinking has become so corrupt. We ask them, so why would you want to go and study? And what are you going to undertake? They say, no, one day if my husband dies, then I got something to fall back. Oh, they are preparing for our death before they even married us. This is now when we talk about it in career guidance. Subhanallah. So my respected friends and brothers, what we are saying is, those are things and discussions in their place, and to the point of necessity and whatever is appropriate, society needs whatever it is, that's a different thing. What we are saying is that for the proper harmonious existence of mankind in this universe, what are the requirements? And where has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed woman? So we find in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, that ba'dhukum min ba'd, male and female, you are part of each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say male is better and a female is lower. Man is superior and a female is inferior. There's that one ayat of the Quran which all the men know it quite well, you know. Allah has placed man in charge of woman. So you see, we are the dudes, we are the bosses. You must listen to us. That is not what that ayat means. That ayat means when it comes to matters pertaining to your worldly matters and affairs, then you have to have a captain, someone who can help and guide and make decisions. In every club, in every team, in everywhere, we have got the amir, the organizer, the captain, the boss, or whoever it is. So in that case, they're to help to make mashura on certain things. But that does not in any way undermine the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a woman. And her position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, you are one is from the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it comes to trying to please your creator, then whatever you do, male or female, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will accept it. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرِنَ وَنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah says, we will grant them a most beautiful and a wholesome life, male or female, who do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have got rights for them and rights both the ways. They are supposed to fulfill rights and they have rights fulfilled towards them. They are all on the same equal standing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are lots of other ayat of the Quran. So Allah has given them a position. It was man through his ignorance and through his arrogance that he in the past, and even in this day and age, has tried to relegate it to a position that he doesn't belong in. Allah has given them equal rights. Yes, biologically, anatomically, emotionally, and every other way, intellectually, there is a difference, but doesn't mean one is better than the other. When we speak about them being equal, we speak about them being equal according to the standards set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have been raised, you know, once when the ayat of the Quran was revealed, where Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ, those who hoard gold and silver, وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا, and do not spend it in the path of Allah, for them is a severe punishment. فَبَشِّرُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them the glad tidings of a severe punishment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, woe be to gold and woe be to silver. In other words, this is going to cause so much of punishment to my people. He expressed his condemnation at that time. He's there for a reason. So the Sahaba all got worried because all had money and gold and things stored away like we have got. So they started talking, so what must we store then? What is valuable? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, let me go and ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to one narration, they were on a journey. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu went and caught up with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Sahaba are very, you know, upset and in a situation here with regard to this verse that's been revealed. So what is it that is valuable that can be stored? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you have a tongue. You have a tongue that praises Allah. And you have a heart that thanks Allah. And that you have a wife that helps you in your iman. That is very, very valuable. That is where our women are. That is where our wives are. That is the position given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they're not just some ordinary people. So look at what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. That they help the husband in his matters of iman in the akhirah. And we know what happens many times. Big trouble happens that the husband gets so fed up that the wife is, did you go for namaz? Did you do this? Then the men get very cross also. But you see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are trying to help us. Did you read your Surah Kahf? So the man said, did you read your Surah Kahf? She said, I read. He said, read another one for me, please, man. I'm so busy. Once a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, to who do I have the greatest rights? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your mother. He says, after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your mother. He says, after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your mother. Three times. So in other words, that is the position that Islam and the Prophet of Islam have given to females. They are right there up, and we need to appreciate them for that. But when we are looking at the requirements, it is also what Islam needs from them. So if she's got a high-paying job somewhere and she's neglecting her Islamic duties, nothing. There's no benefit to society and there's no benefit to humanity as such. If she has become a career woman and not taking care of her home and husband and her children, that is not what the Quranic and Islamic requirements are. Because you must remember, a child is very, very closely associated to a mother, naturally and inherently. I mean, the fact that the child is born and is carried in the womb of the mother for 9 months, there's a great affinity and a closeness. It has been scientifically proven that the actions of the mother affect the child while she's still carrying the child. Scientifically proven. What she says affects the child. In fact, what her moods and her feelings and emotions are also has an effect on the child. And the research is carrying on. And we find the same reference with regard to that in our kitabs also. How a woman is supposed to conduct herself when she is in the state of pregnancy and carrying her child. If there are evil thoughts and evil actions and that going on, then what the effect of it is going to be somewhere along the line absorbed by the child who is not even born. So if that is the effect that the mother's action has with the child, then what more effect won't there be when the child is in front of the mother? When they are now, you know, born, when the child is born. And we always say the lap is the first madrasa of the mother. So it is important, therefore, at this point to know what is needed for her in terms of basic education. My respected friends and brothers, if the mother is bereft and she does not know the Islamic way of bringing her child up, the monastery is already being constructed and being built up in our own homes. She has to have a good level of understanding and knowledge of Islam. Piety is also there. If she does not know with regards to various important things, feeding the child that what is correct, that what is halal, that what is haram, keeping the child clean, purified in a manner which only a mother can do. Alhamdulillah, now you get a lot of fathers also doing a good job bathing the children and changing nappies. There are a few, many of us didn't do that. We used to just make a move from there or just get them to their mother. But alhamdulillah, these are things that are supposed to have been known. What are the halal and haram? What are the things that the child is supposed to speak and utter and what is not supposed to? Because we are not there, the mother is there. So my respected friends and brothers, whatever she has learnt, and we're not talking of higher Islamic education, alima, muftiya, whatever, we're talking of education as a mother. What is going to make this child bloom and blossom into a star and a jewel of society, it greatly depends on the conduct and the action and the speech and everything else related to the mother. And my respected friends and brothers, failure to do that is going to cause a problem. And a lot of times people, they take objection when we say that a mother is a house manager. Nowadays, you mustn't say housewife, they say housewife. You must say the house manager. House management is not an inferior task. House management, really, my brothers, is akin to running a little empire. Ask the women, they know about it. From the morning till the night, there are 101 different departments under them which they have to make sure. And sometimes men are so oblivious and so unfair that what is supposed to be their job also, they just let her do it and they let her carry on. From caring to the children, from giving them food, from dressing them up, from doing their homework. One father says, when my child was in matric, and then he says that she said, I wrote geography today. He says, you know, geography. What made you choose geography? Matric. So that just shows how much of this connection there was with regard to the education of the child. So my respected friends and brothers, these are those important things that a mother must have basic education. And like we mentioned last week, all the things relating to aqidah, all the things relating to her link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if she is connected to Allah, and all the beautiful attributes and qualities of, you know, sabr and shukr and mercy and compassion, which are all part of growth and part of knowledge and part of understanding, which alhamdulillah makes her the queen of the home in the true sense of the word, and she is the one that is responsible for sending into society flowers and fruits that will be of benefit to society. We know of so many ulama and so many saints whose mothers' knowledge and piety and their link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the cause of those people being the great muhaddithin. Imam Bukhari's mother was the one behind him. Imam Bukhari's sister was the one. Today everyone quotes Bukhari Sharif. And lots of other examples we can give. Look at the mother of the Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. What piety she had. And obviously with piety comes knowledge. All that is what is acquired and what has been given to them. And we must give importance to that. We do not in any way neglect it. So very briefly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 22nd para has made mention of 6 or 7 or 8 qualities which are equal for males and females. It doesn't mean that only men can have iman, women can also have iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised men and women equally. Allah says those submitting males and females, submitting means fulfilling all the commands of Allah ta'ala. That is a quality that is needed by a woman, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If she is disobedient to Allah, then we can imagine what is going to happen in the home, what kind of children are going to come, and the whole of society we can also imagine. The same with mu'minina wal mu'minat. And as far as the iman is concerned, it's a whole chapter which they are supposed to pay attention to. والقانتين والقانتات, strict obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والصائمين والصائمات, those who fast, fasting. Allah speaks, والمتصدقين والمتصدقات, those that give charity, males and females. So all these things are not only the things the males are supposed to do, females are also supposed to do. والخاشعين والخاشعات, those that are very strictly concerned and fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات, those who safeguard their chastity among the females. Males are also included there. Then, obviously, not only that, everything else when it comes under safeguarding the property of the home, the property of the husband, the honor of the husband, the only one who can really, really safeguard is a woman. Allah says, لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ, they are garments to each other. And like this, my respected friends and brothers, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, those women who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those males also. So these are the seven or the eight things that the Quran has made mention of that will make the woman that one who Allah has created for fulfilling an important task and role in society. If these things are missing from there, then my respected friends and brothers, we can well expect to see what we are seeing, the imbalance in all other aspects, because some places the male have gone haywire, they have gone to extremes, and in other places the females have gone to extremes. They have caused a whole lot of imbalance in whether it's in the marketplace or whether it's in the political front or whether else, wherever we want to. We all follow the news and we can see. And most importantly, we need to ask ourselves this question, that as males, what are we doing? And as far as seeing to the education, mashallah, our elders say have daily ta'alim at home. That is so important. We have ta'alim in the masjid. We have tafsir here. We have ta'alim on Tuesdays also for our ladies. And there are a lot of other programs that are taking place. This is what keeps them connected, my respected friends and brothers, to their deen and to their ta'alim. Because if they are disconnected, then not only will our children suffer, we will suffer, our homes will suffer, and everything else will suffer. So make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep us conscious and open up various opportunities for us to be able to see to the proper ta'alim and education, basic Islamic education of our mothers and sisters.